This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Well, Well, Well. Adam and Jason with you tonight from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council / Gay Men's Health Centre. Welcome, Jason. How are you this evening?
I'm well. Had a slight little technical difficulty to get me going.
You had a couple there, actually, didn't you? It's a great start to the night. Obviously, we're going to be flying by the pants of our seat.
I see that
you're... The seat of our pants.
Exactly. You're in fine form, or at least you were. It was really exciting to have a listen to the replay of the Locker Room this evening.
Yeah, fantastic.
You know that they had Greg Louganis on as a very special guest, I think.
Yes, indeed.
And to hear kind of his experience going through the Olympics and then coming out as an openly gay, HIV-positive man, his experience with that. You know, stay tuned for that show again next week.
Fantastic. But Jason, a question that I need to ask you, a very important one.
Yes, what's that?
And what's on the show this evening?
We are joined a little bit later by Kate McCombs to talk about sex geekdom.
Is that like some sort of like fan for like geeks or something? Like Comic-Con or something? Like,
is it Comic-Con for sex geeks or something?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You know what? Hold on to that question and we'll soon find out.
Mm.
But in a brief little moment, we'll be covering some news relating to HIV here in Victoria.
Shock horror,
being a
HIV and sexual health show.
I know. Well, you know, we managed to pull it off pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
But of course, we
some
love...
of us do.
Like, you're terrible. we do love to hear from the listener, and there's a range of ways for them to get a hold of us. How can they do so?
Many, many ways, Mr. Aslan. Phone 1300-JOY-949, email onair@joy.org.au, SMS 0427-JOY-949, or you can like us via Facebook, which is facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy. So get in on the action on the ground level, folks.
There's so many ways.
Use your tablet, use your template, use whatever. Use the wireless.
And that's for text.
Use your fax machine.
That's for text.
That is for text.
Well, this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And our first track this evening is the latest from Robin Thicke.
Oh, thank God, Pharrell. You started choosing good music.
Oh, you're terrible. With Blurred Lines. I'm actually surprised that you liked this one.
Why wouldn't I? Everybody get up.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was Robin Thicke with Blurred Lines featuring Pharrell. And it is that time of the show, Adam.
Yes.
When we like to...
shuffle our papers.
That's right.
Change tracks.
Shift gears.
Change tracks.
And get straight into the news.
Yes, indeed. And we thought that... I guess the article that Jason came across this week that he thought was most interesting. Jason, why don't you tell us about that?
Well, we've talked quite a bit about the approval of rapid HIV testing in Australia back in December.
Yes.
Very exciting times. And there's been quite a bit of discussion about a few different rollout plans within Victoria, primarily the community-based rapid HIV testing site that's going to be opening mid-year.
Yep.
But also Pran Market Clinic has been offering it in their practice for probably about a month or so now.
Yep, since March.
Yeah. So, you know, it's exciting. It's great about the rollout, but there really hasn't been much news or movement about offering it outside of metropolitan Melbourne.
Until now.
Boom, boom, boom. So there was news that was in Star Observer this week about how there was going to be a rollout in Bendigo. And it was essentially going to be a service provided through an outreach clinic by the Pran Market Clinic and offered at Bendigo Primary Care Centre. It's going to be something that'll be only offered one day a week on Thursday afternoons and evenings. But it's considered to be the very first regionable centre offering the service in Australia.
Yeah, that's correct. And I think the most important thing is that obviously rapid HIV tests outside of clinical settings or outside of trial settings, really, or research trials, the ability for people, that aren't based in Melbourne to be able to access this sort of service that cuts down on the amount of money, the amount of time, and the amount of effort put into HIV testing, which is sometimes a barrier, having to go in for a test, going back and getting the results, that to have this rapid HIV test available to people in Bendigo, phenomenal. I think it's fantastic.
It is. It's really exciting because, as you said, there are some barriers that exist, both structural and psychosocial, to going for HIV testing. And one of them is about that repeat visit.
Yes.
And the availability of rapid HIV testing essentially allows you to get your result in that same visit.
Yeah, so the most important thing about rapid HIV testing is obviously to increase the frequency with which people test.
Mm-hmm.
In conjunction with that is a reduction in terms of undiagnosed HIV infections and then a reduction in terms of onward transmission.
Exactly.
So the more people that know their actual serostatus rather than assuming, the better off that we're all going to be.
Exactly. I mean, because we know that if people are aware that they're HIV positive, they're less likely to transmit the virus on. But as well, there's a very important point about getting into treatment if required.
Hmm.
And the only way to do so is if you know your status.
Exactly, very much so. And I think, treatment as prevention is such a hot topic at the moment, and it's something that is being pushed, that this is actually one of the steps, involved in terms of treatment as prevention. It's testing more often.
Yep.
And testing more often.
And seeking treatment.
Yes, exactly.
I think I've talked about it on the show before as well. When I moved from Canada to Australia, I found it really quite odd having to go back to a situation where, as a gay man, I was now having to experience those same barriers that I used to experience, but then were overcome with the introduction of rapid HIV testing in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Came here, had to go back through that process all over again of going back for results, and it was just really really frustrating.
But you've had a rapid HIV test, haven't you?
I have, here in Australia as well, since the rollout began at Prime Market Clinic. And it was nice to kind of have that same experience that I had at home, where I was still able to get my comprehensive sexual health screening done.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I always found was a little bit more anxiety provoking, which was the HIV test, I was able to get my result then.
Exactly.
I didn't have to go through, about a week of waiting and then sitting in the waiting room and waiting for the result. I was able to receive the diagnosis.
So what was actually the process?
So, we had to book a longer appointment. So it was a 30-minute appointment. And, we sat down. My doctor talked about it explained the test kit to me.
Mm-hmm.
And what each kind of element of it meant. That if it was a negative result, there was quite a bit of confidence about it, but that, it is a screening tool, so that a reactive result would be confirmed by Western blot. The same as any,
the usual blood test that you go in for now.
Exactly. So the usual blood test that you go in for now, there's an antibody or an ELISA test that's done. And then if that's reactive, then that's confirmed by the Western blot. Same here. If the rapid test is reactive, then that gets confirmed by the Western blot. We had the test running. It takes about 20 minutes for the result to come out. In that 20-minute period, I was able to kind of do everything else that I needed to do for the rest of the sexual health testing.
I thought you were going to say, buy something on eBay.
No. And at the same time, talk about, go through, fill out the questionnaires that you do for for the STI testing, and talk about any other kind of health concerns that I had.
And we should mention that the test is actually a finger prick test.
It is a finger prick test. So it's a quick little drop of blood, fairly simple, not very
less
invasive.
Painful than a needle?
Different. I'm someone who's quite needle-phobic.
Not that tolerant. Yeah.
So for me, the idea of a finger prick is much... causes me less anxiety because it's quick and it's over with really, really, really quickly.
Yeah.
I before I know that it's happened, it's done, which is great, as opposed to, you know, I won't get into my whole phobia about needles, but...
No, I don't think we will.
No. So that process, for me, was much more appealing than a full blood draw. But.
Oh. Well, I guess it's obviously just fantastic to see that this is obviously going to be rolled out in Melbourne very, very soon. But to see that, well, it is actually already rolled out. What am I saying?
Yeah.
I mean, the standalone community-based rapid HIV
testing. That's coming
center.
As well. And then, you know, the fact that there are some places that people in regional Victoria can access it as well is really exciting.
So. Fantastic.
If you want to read more about that story, you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy. And this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And joining us this evening on the show is the ever so lovely Kate, Kate McCombs. Got it right this time. Go me. Welcome to your very first time on Well, Well, Well.
Oh, thank you so much, Jason. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, maybe to kick off the conversation, would you mind sharing with the listener a little bit about yourself?
Ah, of course. So what I do for a living is that I'm a sex educator. So I do a number of things under that umbrella. I teach workshops on a variety of sexual health and sexual pleasure topics. And I'm also the managing editor of a sex education blog called MySexProfessor.com, which is... quite
very interesting.
Yeah, it's based in the US actually, so it's quite cool that I can work from Australia for a US blog.
What brought you to Australia?
I moved to Australia to do my Master's of Public Health at Melbourne Uni.
Did you?
I did. That's the whole reason I moved here.
Rightio.
And that's actually where Adam and I met.
Yeah, Kate's actually my TA, so for one of my subjects. So I didn't know you did the MPH, but okay.
I did, yeah, because they have a strong sexual health focus, yep. And a lot of the universities in the States that do a master's in public health don't offer as many courses in sexual health as Melbourne Uni did. And I wanted to have an international adventure, and so did my husband. And it seemed a good way to tick a lot of bucket list things off in one fell swoop.
So I'm detecting that the accent, it's not Canadian, it's American.
No, but it's so polite of you to assume it's Canadian.
So whereabouts in the US were you based?
I was living in the San Francisco Bay Area before I moved here.
Yeah, and what were you doing there before you decided to do the MPH?
I was doing other sex education work. So I started doing sex ed actually when I was an undergrad at Berkeley. There was a sexual health peer education program there, and that just totally opened up my world. It was like, oh my God, these are my people. And and then after being a peer educator for a year, I became a coordinator for the program. And then after I graduated, I worked for Good Vibrations as an offsite sex educator, teaching workshops around the community for them. And
so that's not the actual party, Good Vibrations.
No,
like,
no.
The event, it's something quite different. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it would be quite cool for the listeners to know a little bit more about Good Vibes.
Oh, it's Good Vibes is an amazing organization. So it's a sex toy store chain. Like, there's several of them in the San Francisco Bay Area and one in Massachusetts. And in addition to selling, you know, high quality sex toys in a really friendly environment, they teach workshops and you can request a workshop from them. Like, any community group can do that. Or I did a workshop in this woman's private mansion. It was really strange. Like, in one week I was teaching women who were in drug recovery about vibrators, and then later in the week was teaching these incredibly wealthy women with this view of the San Francisco Bay from their house. It was very, it's an interesting week.
Week of extremes.
Yeah.
Because what I found quite interesting about Good Vibrations as well is also the layout and the feel when you go into the store, mm-hmm. is very different to that of other sex shops.
It has such good lighting. That makes all the difference.
Well, no, I guess there is sort of that, that aspect of behind closed doors.
Yes.
In terms of sex shops. So there are certain ones that are out and proud that sort of, you know, put everything on display. So I guess, you know, obviously the contrast would be very different from you coming from the US. Or is it still the same sort of behind closed doors as well? And this Good Vibes was just one that was really sort of putting, sex positive messages out there?
Yeah. I mean, there's other ones that I know of in the States that have a similar, and in Australia, actually. Device here is really wonderful. And they're actually starting to teach workshops as well. They have their first one, I think, beginning of June. The other thing that makes Good Vibes sort of different is that they train their staff really well. There's quite a comprehensive program. And the guy that does the training is Charlie Glickman. I'm not sure if you've heard of his work before, but he's quite an amazing sex educator. He just wrote a book on the prostate. He's rather amazing.
Now, we're going to go to a track which was one of your recommendations. Kate, let's do it. I think you've got a thing for, is it Cole?
Cole Porter?
Yes.
I love Cole Porter. All of his music is so euphemistic.
And so it's Alanis Morissette's cover of that from De Lovely. Let's do it on Well 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 on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was Alanis Morissette with her cover of Let's Do It, Let's Fall in Love. Now,
oh, that was nice.
Very sweet.
Good choice.
Now, if you have just joined us, we are chatting with Kate for all about sex geekdom.
Mm.
Now, we never really got a chance to get into that in the last segment, but what is a sex geek?
Oh, I love this question. So a sex geek is someone like me, and I suspect like the two of you, who
That's very, very presumptuous.
But it's basically someone who has a voracious desire to consume knowledge and information about sex and sexuality. So it extends beyond just an interest in what would benefit your own sex life. It's a curiosity about all things related to the spectrum of human sexual behavior and animal sexual behavior, for that matter.
Just sex
yeah. in general. Yeah.
So where did this whole sex geekdom, that's the correct terminology, sex geekdom.
Uh-huh.
Where did that sort of start, or where was this sex positive snuff? Where did it start? That's the question.
He's overwhelmed with excitement, I think.
See, I told you were a sex geek. You're that excited about it.
And check.
Well, sex geekdom actually was something that it's something that I started in Melbourne almost exactly a year ago. So it was last June. I knew lots of people in the community who worked in sexuality and sexual health, and I always felt so much better when I got to hang out with a bunch of other people who didn't think I was a pervert for wanting to talk about all sorts of sex things.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of made it official and just got together with people and said, okay, we're going to meet at this place and this time every month and have create community and hang out together.
And is this something that new or is it, are there other kind of chapters, if you will?
Yeah. So that's been one of the really exciting things about sex geekdom. I mean, I just sort of started it for kind of selfish reasons, like just wanting to get my favorite sex geeks in a room together and feel less alone in the world. Now we have sex geekdom chapters in 4 cities.
Wow.
So there's a really thriving group in LA, and there's a Sydney group and a Madison, Wisconsin group.
What?
Wow.
I know, isn't that hilarious? I love that Madison, Wisconsin was our fourth group.
Random, but awesome.
Yeah.
I know. Well, Madison's it's a college town, so there's a thriving community of sex therapists there who were keen on the idea. So
awesome. So what are the main kind of goals of these events or this initiative?
I think the primary goal is to create a sense of community for people who consider themselves sex geeks. I think not everyone who comes to sex geekdom works in sexual health or sexuality professionally, but I think a part of it is feeling just feeling less alone in the world and normalizing conversations about sexuality in a space that is non-sexual, and getting to meet other people who share those goals of making the world a more sex positive place.
So who actually is involved in sex geekdom? Like you said, it's obviously not just for people in sexual health, but like, is it like medical practitioners and nurses, or is it anyone who just has that general sort of interest in having a frank and open, I guess, discussion about sexual health and sexuality?
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge spectrum. So we get people who work in healthcare. We get people who are bloggers. We've had erotica writers, lots of people like me who work in sex ed. We've got a whole bunch of chlamydia researchers in Melbourne who come, which is quite funny and
what
wonderful.
Bar are they hanging out in?
It's at Loop Bar, actually. I know so much about chlamydia now. They're great. Yeah. And we all teach each other things. Like, we always learn things and have fun. And there's lots of sex puns that happen. There seems to be that's a unifying thing among sex geekdom attendees, is an appreciation of sex puns.
Well, we've got to take a short little break, but this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and if you've just joined us, we're chatting to Kate all about sex geekdom. There was lots of giggling in the last segment, and I reckon there's probably going to be a bit more this time around. But we've talked about a little bit about who a sex geek is, or maybe. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about what the Sex Geekdom events look like.
Well, we have different events. So what we've been doing the longest is just kind of a meetup where we get together for drinks and just have casual conversations about kind of whatever sexuality topics inspire us. But we've also, more recently, we've started running Sex Geek Trivia Nights, which have been really fun.
Yeah, if you point, people can't hear you.
Yeah, I was just saying that Jason and I could probably have a good go at that.
I think we could get a table together.
No, I mean on opposite tables.
Oh, well, game on. Game on.
But back to it. Yeah, so the trivia events. Tell us more.
Oh, yeah. So we host them at... we have all our events at Loop in the Melbourne CBD, the Melbourne events. We had our first trivia night last month, and it was really fun, and we had prizes from Device, and it was quite... we had packed house, and it was great. It was really fun, too, because I think it was a bit more accessible to some people who are kind of on the periphery of the sex geek community. They wouldn't necessarily show up at a meetup, but getting to come with a group of friends and kind of, you know, hide their shyness in a group and
opportunity to kind of just tip the toe in the water. And
exactly.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's the thing. I mean, you know, what would somebody who hadn't been to one of these Sex Geekdom events, like if you're a new person sort of walking in off the street, what would you expect or what would you expect to encounter? I guess.
I think that's a great question. For the meetups, I think people are sometimes a little bit surprised by how kind of casual it is. You know, there's it's been important to clarify for people that it's not actually we keep our clothes on. Like we talk about sex, but it's not a sexual space. It's just like if you were going to a meetup with people in any sort of field or shared common interest, we just sit around and we talk about the things that we know. And
well, is there anything that's off limits?
Good question.
Ah, that is a good question.
Yeah, that was curveball, but it just made me think. I was like, well, if everyone's going to talk about what they're either thinking or interested in or whatnot, then what is off the table?
Mm. I mean, I can't think of anything in terms of topic that would be off the table. What we're more concerned about discouraging would be anything that would be boundary violating for people, hitting on people at Sex Geekdom meetups. That's something we're quite clear about isn't appropriate. And because it's often, I think it's in normal non-sex geek spaces, it can be, if you're talking about sex, it can be construed as that you are interested in having sex with that person. Mm-hmm. So it's important for us creating safe space for that to be not part of the expectation. But in terms of topics, I can't really think of anything.
And so do you have to be quite knowledgeable about, I guess, sex and sexuality to be able to engage in the conversation? Or can you sort of sit on the periphery and sort of just hear what's going on and chip in when you need to or when you can?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you just have to have a willingness and a curiosity to learn and to be open to, you know, asking people questions. And I'd say most of our attendees do have a pretty rich background in some sort of area of sexuality. But I mean, because we all come from such different areas, there's always learning that's happening and sharing. And it's not one shared knowledge base that we have.
Now, I guess for any of the listeners that might be interested, I guess the question would be, is it a fairly diverse group? There are a mix of sexual orientations that kind of allow for that diversity and positivity?
Yeah, absolutely. It's implicitly a very LGBT-friendly space. And that's something that just, it's sort of naturally, I think, become that. It wasn't something that we invited it just sort of by nature of what it's about and that it's a safe space is so we have quite a diverse body in that respects and professionally and age-wise too. I find that quite interesting. You know, we have someone who's 18 coming to meetups and people who are, you know, approaching 60, which is quite cool.
And so I guess, does everyone sit around like one big table and have a conversation about the one topic, or is there just a multitude of conversations going on amongst people? Because it is a social environment and it's a social conversation. So it's not really an education forum, or it doesn't really have that sort of one person is speaking and everyone else is listening.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's much more of the latter. The much multiple conversations happening at the same time. Although in the Madison meetups, they tend to run things like slightly more formally, where they have a theme and then they all discuss the theme. And then obviously at the trivia nights, it's a little bit of edutainment, you know, so you would,
I like that.
You would learn things, you know, even if you wouldn't realize it, because it's so much fun.
Now, we've got a little bit more music coming up, and this time it is Florence and the Machine.
Okay, good.
That's yeah, good.
Which one?
Spectrum.
Oh, okay, awesome. Is it the remix or the...
It is the remix.
Oh, perfect. You are on fire tonight.
Look at that.
One show out of 400 ain't bad.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. If you've just joined us, we're chatting with Kate all about things sex geeky.
Awesome.
And, it's actually been really good fun. I'm kind of curious to know whether there's particular topics. Is it a structured discussion? Or is it just something that happens organically?
Yeah, it's just something that happens organically. Like the topics really vary, and depending on who shows up, we talk about different things. Like yeah. One of our regular attendees is a science writer and knows a lot about marsupial mating and things like that. So we have awesome geeky conversations about echidna penises and things like that. And if the chlamydia girls are there, we're talking about
koalas.
Koalas. Sometimes there's overlap when they're both intending. Yeah.
Well, I guess how can people find out information about sex geekdom events or sex geekdom in general?
So we've got a website, sexgeekdom.com. And if you go to the homepage, there's a button for the newsletter sign up. So we have a monthly newsletter that goes out that has information about all of our events and has other kind of fun sex geeky news items and things like that. We also have a Twitter account, so that's just @sexgeekdom, and facebook.com/sexgeekdom.
And so how can people register their interest in events? Like, or is it basically just this is where the event's going to be held? Come one, come all.
Yeah, more or less. The trivia nights are ticketed, so we do those through Eventbrite. But the links to that you would find on our Facebook page, website, and in our newsletter.
And is there a cost?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. So our meetups, just our regular drinks, are always free. And that's true for all of the sex geekdom.
As in free
meetups.
Drinks? Or
No. You have to pay for your own drinks and food. But to actually show up, those are free. But we charge for the trivia night, the tickets for that.
Cool. When's the next one? Very, very important discussion. When is the next meetup?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I believe it's May 24th. That's the next Friday. Yes.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Yes. I'm getting my dates right. Yeah, that'll be the next one. At our usual location at Loop, they start at 5, and we usually go at Loop until about 7:30, and then we all wander and find some place to have dinner afterwards.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us on Well, Well, Well. It's been really exciting. I think it's quite clear that we are sex geeks, Adam.
Oh, totally.
I know one when I see them.
Yeah. Totally.
Now, do you have any kind of funny stories of you know, how people around you have noticed your sex geekdom?
Absolutely. I joke with my husband actually about how there should be kind of some sort of community for partners of sex geeks for the things he puts up with. When we travel places, one of the things that I do is I have this vulva puppet that I use when I teach.
Which I have seen.
You've seen. Yes. I've brought it to class and demonstrating a female condom with the vulva puppet. But I take it and I take pictures of it in front of famous monuments. And so my husband's gotten used to being my spotter for when I'm posing vulva puppet pictures, like in front of the Great Wall of China. Or Iguazu Falls. He's very patient.
I don't really know where to go from that.
That's all right.
There's nowhere to go from that other than to Sex Geekdom on the 24th of May from 5 p.m. at Loop Bar for more of those great stories.
Great. I look forward to seeing you there.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was We Love by Sneaky Sound System.
Yeah, that one gets a B+.
See, I picked that one particularly because of the video clip that goes along with it, because I think any sex geek would love that music video.
Well, seeing as how we're on radio and we're not watching videos, I don't know if that translates.
Oh, God, you're a bitch.
No, I'm sometimes difficult to work with. But this is also another part of the show that we like to change tracks.
And it's all about things that are happening in and around the community relating to health, HIV, or anything in between. Things to kind of keep you happy and healthy.
So, kicking it off, the first thing is the International AIDS Candlelight Memorial, which is...
It's this Monday.
It is this Monday. It's coordinated by the Global Network of People Living with HIV and is actually one of the world's oldest and largest grassroots mobilisation campaigns for HIV awareness in the world.
Yeah, it was started all the way, in 1983 and takes place every third Sunday in May, and is a coalition of some 1,200 community organizations in 115 countries.
That's a lot.
It's a lot, indeed. It's going to be happening here in Melbourne this coming Monday from 5 p.m., and it's going to be hosted by Living Positive Victoria. If you want some information about it, you can check out their website, which is livingpositivevictoria.org.au, and you'll also find out how to RSVP for the event. There'll be some great guest speakers. We had Rachel Berger on last week discussing her role. She's emceeing the event. Enough Ambassador Jai Wallace will also be there.
The Australian Olympian.
Indeed. He'll be there speaking about it. And, you know, I think it's a great event to come together in solidarity.
Which is actually the theme this year.
It is. It is. Thank you for pointing that out. In an effort to try and reduce that HIV-related stigma and discrimination, we really do need to come together in solidarity. And I always find events like this quite moving and inspiring to take part in being part of that change.
Exactly. I mean, one of the subjects I'm doing this year at uni is basically all about the evolving response of HIV and AIDS, I guess, you know, contextually. Obviously, we're sometimes sort of in a vacuum, like working in sort of like a Western context in terms of what are the US doing and what are the UK is doing or what would work here, that we don't really look at maybe what's happening in Southeast Asia or whatnot. So this is basically about bringing all communities together to increase, I guess, human rights and access for HIV prevention and care and linkage services.
That would make for a great assessment right there. I'd give you
it a totally
tick.
Would. Just looking at my TA for an extra mark on the next assignment.
You are shameless, Adam.
Totally.
But if you want to find out more, get in quick and RSVP for the event. It's really simple to do. They use Eventbrite. You can get a ticket straight to your mobile. It's very exciting. But their website, again, is livingpositive.org.au.
And you did mention earlier the Enough campaign, and we do talk about it quite a fair bit, but I think it's actually something worth mentioning. It does really tie in with the AIDS Candlelight Memorial. It's not really a new website now, because it has been around for a while, from Living Positive Victoria. And it's basically tackling issues around stigma and discrimination. It's about people making a pledge and a promise, basically, that they will not sit by and watch stigma and discrimination happen, or actually not be perpetrators of stigma and discrimination. And there's a multitude of ways in which people can. They can be quite overt, and they've been quite
subtle or subtle.
Subtle, yeah.
It's, you know, I think what's great about the Enough campaign and its website is an opportunity for people, both HIV negative and HIV positive, to talk about share stories where they've seen things go on that have been potentially stigmatizing to people living with HIV, and you know, make that call and make the pledge to say enough's enough.
Exactly. And that campaign is enuf.org.
That's right. Now, would you believe it's time to wrap things up, Adam?
Wow. I can't believe we've come to that part of the show, Jason.
I know.
It's been such a pleasure with you.
It is. Isn't it always? It's because we get along so well.
I'll be in so much trouble tomorrow at work.
But, of course, a big thank you to Kate for coming on the show.
That
this
was
week.
Phenomenal.
It was lots of fun, lots of giggles. Always makes the show much, much more enjoyable.
I want to meet the chlamydia people. First and foremost.
Hey, next Sex Geekdom meetup is Friday, May 24th at Loop Bar in the city, 5 p.m.
And my aim is to steal that vulva puppet.
Get your own vulva puppet.
True, true. I don't know how. Yeah, I don't know where this is going.
I don't know either, but I love it. But of course, if you want more information, you can go to their Facebook page, facebook.com/sexgeekdom.
And we've actually just had a email come through, or a message come through. Hi boys, great show tonight. And I love the boy with the North American accent's voice. He sounds totes hot. Well, the person who sent that message, you would be very disappointed.
Oh, God, you're so terrible.
As if you didn't see that coming. But we love your message, so thank you very much. And yes, his accent's...
And I think I'm probably turning about 50 shades of red right now.
Well, it's certainly not 50 shades of grey, I can tell you that much.
But coming up next is, it's a perfect show for us to lead into because it's Hide and Seek, all about sex, sexuality and self with Andrew and Dean. To see us out, we've got one last track. Very, very exciting.
And I will say hi to my mum this week because she listened the other week. And as soon as I left the message, she's like, why didn't you say hello? And I was like, oh my God, I've been on air for like 2 years. You've never listened once. And the one time you listen.
Ah, well, there you go. This one's for your mum then, in case she is listening. It's Wilson Phillips with Hold On.
Oh my God, I love this song.
Stay tuned next week. We'll be back to talk about rapid HIV testing.
Yes.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.